Well, hello there. This is Jake Cordova from Just Not Right, the podcast. You can find it at notrightpodcast.com. But right now, you are listening to a special feature episode of Buffy Between the Lines.
This is Megan from Podcast Junkie Podcast, and I am here with some wonderful people to talk about episode 8 of Buffy Between the Lines. Let's get started with everybody sharing who you are. How about the writers, Sue and Beth? Tell us about yourselves. What part you played? Hi. Just so we can hear your voices. Sue?
Sure. This is Sue. I'm one of the writers. And this is the first audio drama type of thing that I've done, and it was exciting.
Great. And Beth?
Hi, I'm Beth. This is the first audio drama that I've done. I've written for this season, and I'm writing for second season. And I've done a lot of writing, interweb kind of fan fic writing, but never any audio drama writing, so this has been pretty awesome.
Great. And Jamie, what character are you playing?
I'm playing Bian Xing. And this was definitely my first time doing any sort of audio drama, which you can probably tell from when you listen to the episode. But it was definitely
really
fun. Oh, really?
Okay, and the man of the hour, Chris. Our wonderful
This is Chris.
That's true.
Hello.
Our lady of the hour in this case, I guess. Let's get Let's get started with Beth and Sue. Could you explain the writing process for us? How does it work? I know there's a fairly good sized team. So, how do you approach the writing of these episodes?
Well, we're fortunate enough that they give us a pretty good breakdown of what they want the episode to look like, a formula that we have to follow. And after that, Sue and I pretty much just go and start fresh and start throwing lines at one another. And we've done that for 2 episodes now, and it really works for us. I'm never letting her not write with me ever again.
And she's right. It does work very well. We just kind of toss lines at each other over Google Chat, and we just hit a pacing, and it just works.
Yeah, I told Sue, I mean, I'm pretty much going to keep Sue with me all times, because she'll make like all the writing I have to do for work better too. So I'm like, just come along, Sue, live with me. We'll have a great time. Because we just work well together.
It is amazing how things like Google Chat and all this technology has changed the way you would write. You can really work together anytime you're on the computer instead of having to get together. That's amazing.
Exactly. And we found that we did work better writing together rather than saying, okay, well, you do this scene and you do that scene and you do this scene. It helped us keep the writing tight, which was nice.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to Chris. This episode was of course about you and your changing ways in this episode into a woman. And of course, you probably get the most comments about how you sound the most like your character. You sound so very much like Xander. So this must have been very demanding on your voice talents. How did you approach making yourself still be Xander and yet knowing that the character is now a woman?
Well, I just tried to make sure that I had the pacing and the dictation, that sort of thing, right. And then I just applied a falsetto, and I did each line with my normal voice, under the assumption that maybe the editors can work magic and just raise it up, an octave or something if they want to, if they don't like the higher ones. And then I did it slightly higher than that, and then I did it slightly higher than that. And I finally did it to where it was like a ludicrous tiptoe in the tulips, really high kind of thing. And I hurt myself I really did hurt myself.
We're sorry, Chris.
Yeah. You better be sorry. I was sore.
Well, it was worth it, if that gives you any solace. It was worth it, and it was quite funny to listen to. How about Jamie? Tell us how you approached your character.
Well, actually, I kind of look at her. She's a bit like Anya when she was in her vengeance days. She's not really, you know, well, she's not a good person, but she's not a bad person. She just has fun with her work. And it's fun to play someone who gets to do just evil stuff to people, like shamelessly. I figure it's always better to play bad guys. You can have a lot more fun with that.
That's true.
But I don't know. I was kind of disappointed that she didn't get to stick around longer, because I definitely liked some of the dialogue between a lot of the different characters, and it just would have been fun to do more. Of course.
Yeah, I think we do need to. We have the Anya who's now good. It would be nice to have some ongoing bad girl characters in there too.
Definitely. Yeah.
Tell me, Jamie, can you tell me about your audition process? How did you get involved in Buffy Between the Lines?
Well, actually, I saw it on LiveJournal that they were having auditions, and I just decided, you know, what the heck, I'll try. And I think I auditioned for a completely different character. I think it was Elizabeth Casey or something. And they asked me to try out for this character. And I liked that the description of her was Drusilla, but sane. So you got to, you know, you got to play things up a bit. And it was definitely fun. I think the one part that I didn't know until I got the script was apparently there's a lot of hissing. And the one thing I'm not apparently good at is hissing. It's just not a natural talent for me. So I was like praying that the editors would, you know, do their amazing work and make it sound half decent.
We do love that editing magic, don't we?
Yeah.
So how did you find out that you had gotten this character?
I think it was just when they sent out the mass emails telling everybody, you know, the cast list and who got what part and everything. I think I waited till it was close to being over to audition. So I didn't actually have a long wait to find out.
I see. Okay. This next question is for all of the ladies. What would you do if you woke up and you were a man? Let's start with, how about Beth? I have to put you on the spot.
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to start with me. What would I do if I woke up? Well, first, my boyfriend would probably be slightly concerned if I woke up and I was a man.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that I would do is go and buy some clothes. Those, because men's clothes just seem to fit so much easier than women's clothes. I would go and buy a pair of jeans and know that when I bought one size, they were going to fit me, regardless of where I went. That is a comforting thought. And then I would eat a whole lot of steak. I would eat a lot of steak, and I would have a lot of milkshakes, and I would eat all this food that's just terrible for me, because somehow my boyfriend can eat whatever he wants, and it doesn't seem to he doesn't seem to gain a pound. So I would do that, pretty much. So buy clothes and eat food. Pretty much what I do as a female, but do it without any concern.
Sounds like a plan. How about Sue?
Oh, good heavens. What would I do if I suddenly woke up and I was a man? After mild panic, probably, I honestly don't know. Probably something along the lines of Beth. Get clothes that fit properly without worrying about it.
And explain to your husband.
Sorry. Yeah, somehow explain to my husband, yeah, there was this thing, and Yeah, I seem to have a penis now. let's see, what else? Probably just change. See how the how people would treat me differently. That would be the most interesting part about it. If they would. I don't know if they would.
Jamie, any thoughts from you?
I would probably do the exact opposite. I'd panic and try to figure out how to fix it. Because I, for some reason, have never had any secret desire to, you know, be a man. So, yeah, I would just spend my whole time thinking how to make it go away.
You realize that each one of us is going to have a nightmare tonight where we're going to wake up and be a man. So just get ready for it, because that's what you're probably going to dream tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come true. Hopefully nobody turns into a man. If so, no, we need to add that as an addendum to this.
Definitely. Well, if that happens to anybody, please Skype me in the morning. I'd love to have the first interview.
Sure thing.
This next one's going to go out to any of you that want to comment on it. Why do you think it is that Xander has so many bad things happening to him? He sometimes seems to be the comic relief.
Well, I'll talk over the humming. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's why, because he can pull it off so well. Like, Xander's a character. His character can take those hits and just make it hilarious. And he does it with enough grace, but a whole lot of humor. I just love watching it because he just seems to always rebound, and no one has a lot of pity for him. I can still laugh and totally love it. So I think his character's meant to do that, meant to go through all the bad things.
I'll just interject here too. I kind of think he's really the only character who really doesn't have any superpowers or super knowledge. Giles has super knowledge. Everybody else is like an ex-demon or a witch or a slayer or whatever. And I think he's just an everyday person, and everybody can just kind of relate to that and go, oh, wow, yeah, that would totally be me if I were in the Scooby gang. So
the moral of the story is more people get crapped on by the universe. I don't like that moral. That's not cool.
No. Not that they get crapped on, but that stuff happens, and you have a choice. You can either rise above it or wallow in it. And he kind of, like Beth said, he kind of manages to rise above it through humor and just being Xander.
That's his superpower. He is super great at dealing with all these bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's surprisingly durable, because like half the things that happen to him happen to people that die, you know, in each episode. Nothing else has happened to that particular character, but something that would have otherwise happened to Xander happens to them, and they're dead.
Very
good
true.
Point. Good point. He somehow manages to survive. We can't lose that part of the Scooby. Okay. This next question is for Beth and Sue. How did you hear about the writing, and how did you get involved with Buffy Between the Lines?
Oh, that's easy, through LiveJournal. And then I signed up as a writer, but I wasn't so sure about, oh, God, you know, I've written fanfic before, I've written articles and essays before, but I've never done an audio cast that's going to be actually listened to. So I asked Tabs, you know, can I write with somebody? And she said, sure. And she teamed me up with Beth, and the rest, as they say, is history.
The same for me through LiveJournal. I am addicted to LiveJournal. And, you know, Tabs is like, hey, this girl Sue wants a partner. And I was like, yeah, I've never done an audio drama, so why don't I get a partner? I've done fanfic like Sue's done, and I've done, you know, live plays. But I've never done anything that's going to require the cueing that that an audio drama would. So, and I'm also very busy, just like Sue is. So I thought, it'll be great. I'll have a partner. I get to do half the work. This will rock. but yeah, it was an amazing process. So,
seems like you've got a good team going there. What has been the most enjoyable part of working with Buffy Between the Lines?
Well, that silence was scary. It really is enjoyable.
Yeah, that...
I guess I'll go first. Tabs is saying that she is the most enjoyable part, and I have to agree that Tabs has been the most enjoyable part of working on Buffy Between the Lines. But second to Tabs, and it's a far away second, has to be all the awesome people that I've met. Like, this is an amazing process. People, you know, they talk about it. I mean, like over a thousand people are listening to this per episode, and people are talking about it, and having that kind of impact on any fandom is pretty amazing. So it has to be like that, you know, we're going to have fans. That's what that rocks. I'm so ready to sign autographs.
I have no doubt you will be at conventions any day now. And will you both Beth and Sue, are you going to be working on season two?
Yes, we already finished our second episode, I guess, for season two.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. At least the first draft.
Yeah. We're waiting on the rewrite.
Yeah.
We have more to look forward to and from you guys. Great. Chris, can you tell me, how does your character feel throughout this episode? You must have had some thoughts when you first read the script on what would you feel like? What is your character feeling like when he wakes up as a she?
Like you said earlier, in response to your questions, how you guys are all going to have nightmares about waking up as a man. This kind of reminded me of a nightmare or two I had. I was like, you know, it really depends on your situation. How this would make you react. For Xander, he a lot of horrible things have happened to him, as we've mentioned. He's used to magic. I think he could handle this better than most anybody, really. You know, a lot of people would react, perhaps dangerously. You know, be like, it's time to wake up, time to wake up, time to wake up. I'm in a dream. I can fly. I'm going to jump out the window. Ah, crap. But he knows that this is something that can be fixed, no matter how incredibly shocking it is. You know, he's able to roll with this particular punch. And keep going. I think that, you know, whereas in some, you know, sci-fi scenarios and fantasy scenarios where this happens and it drives somebody kind of nuts. It does drive Xander kind of nuts, but this is, you know, the fifth season of Buffy, and he's been through so much crap that he can roll with it and keep going. He can adapt. He can see the bright side and say, "Ooh, I like the frilly laces. Now I understand why you like, you know, shopping for wedding dresses, Anya." Okay, yeah, I think that that does it.
I think it does too. I guess I hadn't thought about it from that point of view. Xander does have the knowledge that, you know, he does have the magic and the possibility of getting out of this scrape since he's gotten out of so many before. Whereas the rest of us, if we woke up like that, wouldn't have that on our side.
Yeah.
And this next question is for everyone. Do each of you have a favorite scene from this episode? Let's get started with, let's start with Jamie. We haven't talked to Jamie in a while.
I think my first scene is actually my favorite. The one with Xander in the bronze. Because she has a bit of mood swings. Like, she tries to be seductive at times, and then she's demanding and then angry. And so I think it was just kind of fun to play. And she gets to be kind of vampy and a little bit over the top, but it was still fun, you know? I think it was a good introduction. She sort of arrived with a bang, if you will.
Yeah, I thought the very beginning was quite seductive. I thought you did an excellent job on that one, too.
Okay.
But Beth.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I get to go first because I know Sue is going to pick the same scene. But it's the scene that we wrote where Anya's throwing the chicken feet and other and sundry items at Xander. I mean, we were cracking up writing that, and we were hoping that everybody would crack up with us when it plays. I think they will, because everybody has that moment where they just want to throw something at their significant other because they're messing things up. And Anya had to do that, and it was hilarious.
All right, and Sue?
I've got to agree. Incur at Beth for taking my answer. the chicken feet was definitely a fun scene to write. We felt like we needed to throw some sort of reaction in there, and some sort of kind of silliness, and yeah, that kind of took it. And we just ran with it. So
right.
that was my favorite.
Well, before we get to Chris, I have to say my favorite part was the picking out the wedding dress, talking about the wedding dress. That whole switch in his character, I think, was my favorite thing about this episode. So hopefully I didn't steal your fire on that, Chris. What was your favorite scene?
Well, you did. You stole my answer.
I'm sorry.
Much.
Sorry.
And you totally cheated off my test. That was definitely the most fun. You know, it's where the magic is going a little past the physical, and he breaks down. He succumbs to the chemicals, and he can't help himself, but like all the Frilly Lacy things. And that scene was very amusing for me. Because that's some scene that I can't really imagine that ever happening. No. I sit at work and talk to my cube mate about how much money she spends on her purse, and it's absurd. I can't fathom it. It's beyond comprehension, and it drives me insane. And I think that the only way I could ever understand it is if somebody just replaced all my testosterone with estrogen. So yeah, I like that scene.
So you think that now. Now that Xander's been replaced with his testosterone back, he won't have any of those girly feelings anymore?
Oh, God, no. If anything, he's going to, like, overreact to compensate and try to push that from his memory. You know, it just, you would want to kind of forget about that. Well, I mean, maybe not forget about all of that, but forget about most of that.
Well, I'm sure it'll be off script, but Anya would be there to remind him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Xander. Well, I think that's about all I have. Is anything anybody wants to add?
No. I have nothing.
No, okay.
All set here.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining me for this commentary. It's been fun.
Indeed. Thank you. I had a blast.
Thanks.
All
right.
Thanks.
Here's a riddle. What has 8 wheels, 3 heads, and lots of tails?
What?
That's easy.
Oh, we do. The activated storytellers. The 8 wheels are what we use to tour the country.
The 3 heads belong to us, the Goza family.
Right, and we have lots of family-friendly tales to listen to at activated-storytellers.com.
Yep, activated folk tales and tales from our travels.
A new podcast every Thursday. You'll find the link at activated-storytellers.com.